if the weather permits, Saturday, March the 28th, what we'd like to do is have a kind of a cleanup and stiff up everything here, inside, outside. And I like the way it's worded, cleanup and organization day. So we're going to get organized. And I have been informed. I have in the boarder room back here a whole lot of my books, and I've been informed that those are going to be organized. I'm not quite sure what that means, but I think I better get them out of here. And so Saturday, March the 28th at 9, if it's raining, we will reschedule it, hopefully for the next Saturday, April the 4th. But right now, March the 28th, if you can plan on coming down, we'll have food, we'll have some refreshments, we'll have music, and we'll work, and we'll have fun. And so this will be one time that work is a good word. Oh, well. And I didn't grab hold of that. But so we'll do inside and outside. So kind of see what you'd like to do. If you have questions, see Leslie Jensen regarding the inside organization, John Harvey regarding the outside cleanup. If you have some questions. Is there going to be one of these posted on that bulletin board? There is now? Okay. So there will be three groups. One group will be organizing the children's classroom. A second group will be reorganizing behind. We need a whole group to reorganize behind the pulpit? I'm not that messy. All right. And a third group will be organizing the kitchen and the furnace area. And then there'll be the outside crew that we'll be doing some things with. We will need, if you have any rakes, shovels, lawnmowers, please bring them. If you have a chainsaw, bring one, because I always like to play with a chainsaw. They won't let me have a chainsaw. One time we had this years and years ago. We hadn't been here that long. A lot of you have never got to meet William Smith, Reverend Smith, who we still lease the property from his wife. And we had a major crew here, and people were just, you know, going through this thing. And I left to go get some stuff that we needed in the truck, and I came back. And they had literally cut down one of these big trees there in the back so we could park. We needed the parking. It was right where it just messed up all the parking. You remember that, Jim? I got a call the next day, and bless his heart, he just like I had killed him and cutting down one of the trees. And finally, he just kept coming. You know, I had to come down and meet him here. And we went on and on. And finally, I said, Reverend Smith, there's nothing I can do. I can't make it grow back. I said, I am so sorry. I wasn't here. And I told him to clear the way for the parking place, which you had said we could do, but I didn't mean to clear the tree. And he eventually recovered and went on with that. But so we'll do that March 28th, and it's a lot of fun. We have some good time together, working together, and get to see each other in work clothes and that type of environment, so please plan on doing that. A couple other announcements. First of all, Ron Henderson, who we have been in prayer for, and used to come here and then had to move, but Ron is getting worse. They found cancer in several other places of his body, and he has, in his own mind, come to the conclusion that maybe 24 months, maybe not, he'll be home with the Lord. And so it's been prayer for Ron and Nancy and the entire family at this time. He's just not going to fight anymore and not going to go through all of the medical things because it's just really getting worse and worse. So by worse, I mean the cancer spreading more and more in his back and his spine, side, a lot of places, causing some physical handicap and like in the movement of the right leg and different things. So just be in prayer for he and his family. and what God has in mind and in store for Nancy and Ron and the whole family at this time. So please bear that in mind. Continue to be in prayer for Pat Thompson, her family, the loss of her mother, or promotion really of her mother. Tiff is with her mom and dad. She's in prayer for her dad. And he's not so much getting, as it were, getting worse, but it is, when you stay in a constant state that Raymond is in effect, it is getting worse. It isn't getting worse like we could say, well, yesterday this and today that. It's just when you stay in a constant state, other parts of the body start closing up and down and slowing down. So please be in prayer for Tish in dealing with her father and mother and family at this time. And so bear that. Do you have any other prayer requests that we need to let be made known? Okay. Okay. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purpose in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. Giving is one of the ways that the believer expresses their faith in the spreading of the gospel, and for that is the gospel for the unbeliever and the gospel in regard to the Christian life. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves by prayer. Let's pray. Father, I pray now that you will receive the offerings that we're about to give and that you will continue to use them, using this assembly, Father, in the spreading of the gospel through the ministry here in this assembly, through the spiritual gifts of everyone in this assembly, in Heavenly Father, through the outreach of tapes, publications, whatever way, Father, that you receive to utilize this assembly in the spreading of the gospel, the truth of the gospel. We pray these things, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for the setting of Scripture. We're going to go back. Give me just a little volume, please. Just a little. Thank you, on you. Going to go back now to our study in the Gospel of John, which is going to take us into a lot of places as we move into it. And some very important things that a lot of our study has taken us in the seeing of what's going on in the Gospel of John. So let's prepare ourselves that the Spirit can open our eyes and we might see what's going on in the Scriptures, in the Gospel of John, and in the whole plan of God, and how that affects our lives, what we're doing with our lives each day. Let's pray. Now, Father, as we open up the Scriptures into so many different areas this morning, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes as we take this journey, that we might see what you would have us to see. It's so easy, Father, to get our eyes and our lives so focused on those things that really have no significance and lose sight of what really is important. We pray that your Spirit will illuminate the truths that are set before us in your Scripture, that we might see these things. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So John chapter 14, John 14, 15, 16, 17, crucial chapters, because what's going on in those chapters is, one, the departure of Jesus Christ from planet Earth. He is going to leave the earth. And with his departure, he is talking very much about the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, people, we've looked, my goodness, back to chapter 13. So we've been studying the two sendings here for in that sense for about 8 years in this assembly. And what we're now going to go somewhere in regard to your life and things are going on in history with the two sendings of God. Now, we have studied the two different words for sending and what the sendings deal with, but we have two sendings of or by God. And it's so important. I want to show you how important it is to you to be in tune with the sendings of God. Because we have a lot of, and you know it and I know it, we have a lot of teaching, sins, if you want to use that word, that time is getting ready to do something in regard to the rapture of the church, and all these types of things going on. No one knows. It could be very soon. It could be 1,000 years from now, 100 years from now. But the truth that I want to look at, if we go through these things, that doesn't really matter, because what is going to go on at that time actually affects every generation, even from the very first generation all the way up to where we are now. The scripture was not written with just that one generation in mind in warning them, but in really warning every generation. So whether or not we are close to something happening in as far as God's timetable, I don't know. No one knows for certain. But I want you to know that we'll take a look at this, before Christ calls home the church, something very significant is going to happen, and that is the Antichrist. That is, and by anti, it's not opposed to Christ, but one who claims to be Christ. You can take the Antichrist in two different ways, opposing Christ or just pretending to be Christ but isn't. Multitudes of the body of Christ are going to follow after the false Christ. It's going to be greatly deceived. And many Christians are going to suffer at the hands of other Christians when this comes and the Antichrist is revealed. Now, what we want to ask ourselves is, how and what then can I do that I'm not deceived? One of the things that you want to bear in your mind is the two sendings of God, the sending of His Son and the sending of His Spirit. This becomes extremely important. When Jesus Christ came, so here's Jesus Christ coming to earth as the Son of God, Son of Man, Servant, King, all these different titles. This was the first sending by God. He sent His Son. His Son came and did His work, what He was sent here to do, as far as the cross is concerned, and then He departed. He left. The Son of Man is no longer on planet Earth. Just bear that in mind. He is not here. He is gone. He is absent. Now, you're sitting there, some of you, okay, I know all this stuff. He's departed. He's in heaven. Come on, let's get going. Without getting this penetrating your mind, you can be deceived by the Antichrist. Because you know that He's going to come back. So it's the understanding of the sendings of God, because when Jesus Christ departed to return to God and sit on the throne of God, on the right hand of God, God the Father and the Son had a second sending, and that's the sending of the Holy Spirit. If you're not in tune with chapters 13, 14, 15, 16 of John, you're on your way to being deceived by someone who will claim to be the Christ. And we have to look and be able to stand back. And it's I'll just tell you right up front, as we go into John and we go into some of our other studies we're going to be doing here, it's going to be tough to tell you these things because of this. If you see, let's say that the Antichrist is revealed this coming week. Let's say that in his revealing and coming, and you, in the power of the Holy Spirit, are able to say this is not the Christ, because you say that, and because you understand that, you will be persecuted by other Christians. So, if you're following what I'm trying to say here, it's a tough thing to tell you, because I want you to be able not to be deceived, but if you're not deceived, you're going to suffer greatly. And if you don't want to suffer, then just be deceived and be taken in. Because if you do see, and the Holy Spirit will make it possible, and we'll go through some of these things, that this is not the Christ, then those who claim that he is the Christ will persecute you, because you do not believe that this is the Christ. To give you a little idea, Jesus, when he came, said this is not the temple. Okay. For 1,000 years, Jesus said this is the temple. This is where God is. This is it. This is, as long as we're associated with this, we're in with God. He said, no, you're not. What did they do? Persecuted him. So you come along, and the majority of the body of Christ is saying this is the Christ. And you, not in arrogance, not in rebellion, but you stand back and say, no, this is not the Christ. You will be persecuted by other Christians. And we're going to see how all of this works as we continue through. So what I want to do, as we go through a lot of different things, one of the important issues are the two standings by God. It's extremely important. Because what is the Antichrist saying? I am the Christ. You've got to stand back and be able to say, is this the standing that God said he would send? Is this whom God said he would send, when God said he would send, or not? Because it's going to be overwhelmingly powerful that he is the Christ. Overwhelmingly. And people only go to who dare to walk in the Spirit. The second standing by God, the standing of his Spirit, are going to be able to observe a false standing, that which is not sent by God. And I'll show you how and why all of this works out as we go along. So we've had the standing of the Son. He's already come. He's already been sent. He's going to come back. That's going to be where the kicker is, seeing the two standings of God and where they sit. But look with me in John 7 for a moment. We're going to just look at some things this morning as we move back into our study of John 14. I want to put John into some perspective of where he fits into, because we have the Gospel of John, we have the Epistles of John, and then we have the Revelation written by John. So we're going to have three important writings by John, and we want to be able to see where all of this is coming from, because God is using all three in a very important way. Now, John chapter 7, look at verse 37. John 7, 37. Now, on the John 7, 37, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Now, you know he's not talking about any liquid. He is talking about trusting him. So often when the Bible talks about bread or wine or something, that's all people can think about. They talk about baptism. All some people can think about is water baptism. You've got to be able to understand and hear what's being said. Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his, that's the one who believes in him, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. What in the world is he talking about? Well, look at verse 39. But this he spoke of the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were, because it hadn't occurred yet, future, were to receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, as per John 7, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So, Jesus Christ is going to come to planet Earth, fulfill the work of the cross, and then depart. When he departs, gets to heaven, he and God the Father are going to send the Holy Spirit to the world. Now look at John 14, where we left off some time ago for our study in the Epistle of Galatians, written to the Galatians. All right, John 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. We want to be able to know the truth in our lives of what's going on. You're not going to know the truth. One of the great problems with man is that man thinks he can be like God and discern good and evil from the tree of good and evil, and the curse is that you cannot discern truth. You're going to be deceived. It's only going to be in the power of this Spirit that we're going to be able to discern truth. If you do not know how to tap into His power, you're going to be deceived. That's why that whole teaching is so important. Do I tap into the power of the Holy Spirit when I have sinned? Do I tap into it by some type of works like confession or repentance or sorrow and deceive myself that because I've done something for God, God's doing something for me? Do I believe that I just trust Him and He will do His work in me? Very important how I'm filled with the Spirit, people. That is not just an idle controversy. It is essential how we tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold Him or know Him, but you know Him, because He abides with you and will be in you. Look at John, let's look at verse 26 in the same chapter, 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So when we come into the great conflicts, and especially the great deceptions that go on, how am I going to know the truth? Here's how. Because you have the Spirit of truth in you. From chapter 13 on, the whole scene shifts to the second sending. How important the Holy Spirit is to us. Now look at chapter 16, please. Chapter 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, the departure of Christ. He's not here. But if I do not go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. People, kind of get the idea, this is very important to Jesus Christ. This is very important to him, that you and I have the Holy Spirit. becomes extremely important. Look at verse 13 in chapter 16. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. People, you cannot find truth on your own. You cannot discern truth in Scripture or in your life or in history. The most important thing you and I've got to do as Christians is the same thing we did as non-Christians. I can't. I can't even tell. I cannot tell the false Christ from the true Christ. Oh, I can tell. I can tell. I cannot tell. I know I cannot tell. As much as I love Him in the Spirit, I know I cannot tell the false from the real. You're going to have to guide me, Spirit. You're going to have to teach me the truth, because I can be deceived, and I will follow Him. And I will think I am doing right. And I don't want to be deceived. So verse 13 again, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears from the Father, He will speak. And He will disclose to you what is to come. Powerful. Powerful. What does that mean? What is to come? That 2 weeks from now, stock is going to go up and stock is going to go down? No. This is something far more important than that. This is dealing with the whole plan of God. Verse 14. He shall glorify me, for He shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. People, Christ is not going to be glorified. The real Christ is not going to be glorified when people run to the Antichrist. That is not going to be the glorification of Jesus Christ, and yet they're going to shout that it is the glorification of Jesus Christ. So it is so important that we understand the two standings by God and their purpose and their function. It is so important. We have a lot of people in America today and in the world today, and I fear saying these things because I know I'm going to be misunderstood, and I can't. Well, I've got to deal with those of you that are in the Spirit. We have a lot of people that are worshippers of Jesus, and Jesus is Lord, and they never see the truth because they're not in the Spirit. They don't need the Spirit. They have Jesus. Just saying those kinds of things, you can hear how some Christians would get very angry. Well, let's magnify that by a great deal and say that He is in Jerusalem claiming to be Jesus, and we say He's not. What are they going to do? How am I going to know the real Jesus Christ? How am I not going to be deceived? It's going to be by the power of the Spirit. The one that you and I now have fellowship with is the Holy Spirit. Now what I'd like you to do is look at Isaiah 48. We'll probably look at this a couple more times, but look at Isaiah 48. It's all through the Old Testament. Isaiah 48, I'd like you to look at verse 16. Come near to me, listen. Now that means listen with the ears of faith. Listen to me, listen to this. From the first I have not spoken in secret. It's going to sound like it's a secret because what we have already noted that the Bible both reveals and conceals at the same time. It conceals to those who don't want to hear, and it will reveal to those who do. So it is spoken in secret to those who do not want to hear the truth, but it is not spoken in secret to those who do want to hear the truth. In faith. From this time, from the time it took place, I was there. And now, and this now takes us up to our history, the Lord God, God the Father, has sent me. That's the first sending of Jesus Christ and His Spirit. There's the second sending, sending of the Holy Spirit. And we must understand the two sendings throughout all the Scriptures and in our own lives so that we will be able to see what's going on when it does go on. Now look at, so in dealing with this deception, look at 2 Thessalonians, Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. Now the Thessalonians were doing it right. They are commended by Paul for it to be our example. They were doing faith and expressing love. So look at 2 Thessalonians. I want to show you a few things that are going on. To show you that they're doing it right, look at 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. We are always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and, as you and I know now out from that faith, the love of each one, what are the two commandments? Or the commandment or commandments of God? That you trust and that you love one another. And your love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. So as their faith is enlarged, their love is enlarged, because love flows from faith. Now, let's look at some of the deception that we're going to pick up and deal with the two sendings, the sending of the Holy Spirit, especially in our study in John. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay, before we read it, a lot of interpretations, a lot of debates, a lot of theology. Let's see what the Holy Spirit just says in the reading. See what's going on. We're not studying it, we're just reading through it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we request you, brethren, these are believers now, so we're dealing with believers, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. What coming is this? This is the second one. The second coming of Christ. He's going to come back. We want Him to come back. But we don't want you deceived. Okay? And our gathering together to Him, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. People, this is going to happen in the church age. And there's going to be a spirit, and there's going to be a message, and there are going to be words. He has come. Jesus has come. And multitudes, we've got a lot of verses to look at over a period of time, and a lot of the church are going to go. They're ready for it. Verse 3. Let no one in any way deceive you. How can I not be deceived? People, see, one of the worst things, you know, who's the prime customer on a used car lot? The guy that says, I'm not going to be taken. You know, that old joke. And we know this. People take people, and I mean good, smart people, every day in business. People are taken by people every day in the area of romance. People are taken by people financially. Every way you want to think, people are taken by people. I want you to think, if the adversary is putting this on, it's going to be powerful. When we studied, when Satan calls your name, which I still wonder if I ever should have studied, but when Satan calls your name, what did we see about the night that Peter betrayed? We saw that Satan set everything up. Night. Not day. Night. Dark. Cold. Just things you don't even think about. Yeah, it's that time of the year. It's cold. He set everything up for Peter's denial. A warm fire. What is wrong with going to a warm fire to warm your hands when you're cold? But it was all laid out. You remember our study. I just wanted to follow. I, Peter, just wanted to see where they were going to take Jesus. I just wanted to warm my hands by the fire. And then came the attack. He was set up. He was set up. Christ said, Satan's called your name, Peter, to pull you down. He was set up right from the go. People, you and I will be set up. I'll show you how. Let's continue. Verse 3. Let no one in any way deceive you. People, you can be deceived. If you'll recognize I can be deceived, you're way ahead of the ballgame. Because then you will what? Totally rely on His Spirit, whom He has sent, to what? Guide you in what? Truth. Yes, deception is false. Truth's over here. I don't know. I'm going to have to lead him. He'll walk in the Spirit, so he will lead me in truth. Okay. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. Okay. Christ is not going to come till the apostasy comes first. The Antichrist. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. Well, right there is the heart of this whole deal. If you can grab it right here, you know, just get in the Spirit now and stay with it. It sounds like the man of lawlessness sounds like a really bad person. Lawless person. That's what it sounds like. But in Scripture, especially Paul's writing, is writing this, who is the lawless person? And I'm asking you, can somebody tell me, who is the lawless person? Huh? Follows the law. Thank you. The lawless person in Scripture, people, is a person living by law. That's the lawless person. We studied this in Galatians and other places. The lawless, this isn't going to be, and well, I hesitate in doing this because I have stayed away on purpose from all this stuff. The people, the Antichrist, the lawless person, is not going to be a leader like Bill Clinton. What kind of Christian is going to say this is the Christ? I mean, any Christian's going to say that. This is the Christ. No, I don't think so. He's man. Whatever else I can say about him, he's man. Okay. You see? It's dark. There's a fire warming hands. Let me ask you something. Let's say it gets even a little worse. Let's say conditions in the world more worse. What we think of as injustice, immorality, breakdown of what we call the right norms and standards. Who are we going to be easily fooled by? The person that stands up and says what? It's true. We're going back to law. We're going back to justice. We're going back to what's right. Can you hear the Christian? Yes! Yes! Let's persecute those who deserve persecution. People, that's going to be his platform. Let's get back to right. Let's get back to law. Let's get back to integrity, nobility, proper morals. How many of us would say, and I don't mean us in the body, I mean us by us in the body of Christ. That's the one I want to follow. I've had enough of this kind of president. I've had enough of this kind of person. I've had enough of that kind of athletic stuff. I've had enough of this in this area. And boy, what a refresh. This has got to be the Christ. because he's going totally against the world, totally against what man wants. Man wants everybody to sin and get away with it. Man wants everybody and calls all that stuff. And he's saying everything that I want to hear. He is the Christ. You have been set up for deception. You've been set up. Law looks good. But you ought to know by now from the study of Galatians, law is deception. Law is designed to increase sin and reveal that I need the Savior. And he's going to stand up, and he's going to sound so Christ-like of what I think Christ would be like from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He's going to talk against the sins that I detest. He's going to persecute those who I think deserve persecution. They've been getting away with this stuff. They've been getting away with murder. They've been getting away with stealing. They've been getting away with adultery. They've been getting away with fornicating. They've been getting away with sensuality. They've been getting away with idolatry. They've been getting away. Take all those lists that we studied in Galatians chapter 5. And they've been getting away with it all, and they're no longer going to get away with it. Right, that's our man. That's Christ. Is that Christ, people? It is that Jesus Christ. A lot of you have already gone through this, and you can see how the law sounds good, but you pass that test, you'll never say, no, no, it isn't law. There's something greater than that. And that in itself isn't. But what I want is the grace and the love. I don't want what the law gives. What does the law do? We've already studied it. Devours, destroys, kills. Look what he says they will do. Look what he did. In verse 3, the end of verse 3. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. What does the law do? There's your clue. If you walk in the Spirit, what do I know the real Christ does? Reconciles, saves, delivers, pardons, forgives. What does the law do? It's a man's suffering. It's a man's destruction. It's a man's death. It's a man's justice. I've got to be able to stand back and say, wait a minute. That really sounds like law to me. That doesn't sound like law. We're being set up. Tough love. That isn't in Scripture. That's man's word. So I don't have to do what spiritual love demands me to do. If I have tough love, I don't have to lay my life down for you, do I? I can lay your life down and call it love. That's not what Scripture is talking about. We're being set up, people. I was lying in the past, but not from Scripture here. We're being set up. And if we don't walk in the Spirit, we're not going to see. Because everything's going to be looking just the way Satan wants it to look, because he set everything up for our deception. How can I be deceived? It's got to look right. Not wrong. It's ludicrous to think someone like Clinton is going to be the Antichrist. All he looks like is someone who needs Christ to me. What he looks like to me is someone who needs to walk in the Spirit. That's all. This person, this man, will look pure from the standpoint of law. And he's going to sound pure. And people are going to flock to him. Let's continue reading. Verse 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship. Okay? Temple. Think of that. Object of worship, temple. All gods. Is not the true God above all of God? Yeah. Is not the true God above all objects of worship? Yeah. Back that up. So that he takes his seat in the temple of God in Jerusalem, displaying himself as the God. Do you not remember that while I was with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he may be revealed. That is the Holy Spirit. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Okay. Let's see what's going on here. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Paul wrote this, first century. The mystery of lawlessness. Is it a mystery to us? What is the mystery of lawlessness? The mystery of lawlessness is what? Be the law. Practice the law. And people love that. That'll control people. So it's already going on. We're already set up throughout all the... What? Those of you that went to Galatians with me, can you stand by there? I just don't see, you know, I'm going to use this word, rationally, how anybody could say the law has anything. It's just totally set aside in Scripture. But look at the majority of the church today and those who call themselves part of the church. They really are. It's the law. We're saved by the law, we live by the law. If you just sit down and look at some Scripture, no! It's already there. It's been set up all along. It hasn't it has not been taken away yet, and it's not going to until all of this comes about. It looks like this is what God is saying. Only he who now restrains will do so. Now who's that? That's the second standing by God. That's the Holy Spirit. People, if you will walk in the Spirit, he will guide you in truth. He will lead you. Now restrain. Okay, what is all of this about? What have we said? Or what does Scripture say? If we live by the law, it increases sin. Why hasn't that happened? Because the Holy Spirit is restraining the whole work of the law here. But once the Holy Spirit's gone, oh, dear people, the persecutions are going to be even greater than they're going to be until the church is taken off. But right up until when the church is taken off, many Christians are going to be persecuted by Christians for not accepting this as the Antichrist, as the Christ. You're going to have friends who are just going to persecute you. Let's say it would have happened today, so I can make my point. And you have family and friends that say, this is the Christ, and you say, no, it isn't the Christ. They are going to persecute you and turn you in. I'll show you this in Mark and Matthew later. They will turn you in, and they are sure they're doing right. They're sure they're doing it for your good. Because they want you to see that this is the Christ. And they will turn you in. They will persecute. They will try, first of all, apparently what's going on, they will try to intimidate you, compel you, and just keep putting pressure and pressure on you. Things that we saw in Galatians. And when that doesn't work, they'll just turn you in, and you've had it then. Why? Because you just say that's not the Christ. I'm going to continue to live by faith in the Spirit, not by faith in your Jesus. Listen, because we're talking about the two standings of God. I'm going to continue to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, not by faith in this one y'all called Jesus. But aren't we supposed to trust Jesus? No. Not a Christian. Now our faith is in the Spirit, second standing by God. And if you won't do that, persecution's going to come. And it will not let up until the Spirit calls it. And they all go home to meet the Lord in the air. Okay, continue reading. Verse 8. And then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. Now that's the real coming. That's the true coming. Verse 9, that is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. Look how he's coming. Look how the false Christ is coming. He's coming with the all power, signs, and wonders. Not only is he going to come with all, he's going to come with all his wonders and signs and glory. You are a fool if you don't see that this is not the Jesus. How dare you to say it isn't? You need to be set up. You need to be straightened out. You need to be taken care of. I'm turning you in for your own good. And that's what happens. Christian against Christian. Verse 9, that is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all the power, this is the Antichrist, and signs and false wonders, verse 10, and with the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Okay, what's going on in verse 10? Now, what you want to do in verse 10, what is the proof? The proof of the gospel is trusting the one whom God has sent. God has not sent this one. But you won't listen to that. And therefore you will not be delivered from this time. Now verse 11, for this deception. And for this reason, God will send upon them, now this is important, because you would not listen to the Spirit of truth, the guiding of the Holy Spirit. That's why we read the John. The guiding of the Holy Spirit will guide you in truth. But you won't listen to that. Okay, look what's going to happen. God, now this is the true God, will send upon them, that's those who will not listen to the truth, not walk in the Spirit, a deluding influence, so that they might believe what is false. Oh, why would God do that? Why would God do that? Because you don't want to walk in the truth. You don't want to walk in the Spirit. You don't want to trust the Spirit to guide you in truth. And so, okay, they'll just delude you. I want to come back to that. Look at verse 12. In order that, why would God do that? In order that they may all be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Sounds like horrible stuff, doesn't it? Sounds like he's going to bring all the honky-tonks back, doesn't it? That's law. They love doing law. They love doing the destruction of law. Now, bear in mind what we just read. And for this reason, God will send them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false. I'm going to have you turn the passage, and some of you are going to go, oh, no. Just stay with me, because you're going to see a different twist that we've now been taken to in this study. Look at Isaiah 28. I want to show you something. We're now ready for this. We've seen it enough, so now that you're ready to see what else is going on in Isaiah 28. Okay? Some of you may not be familiar with this passage. I think everyone here. So let's just go right to what I want to show you. Verse 10 is the false gospel, and it's a false way of seeing Scripture. For he says, that is, those who do not want to take faith, that this is what the Bible says. Do and do, do and do. Rule on rule, rule on rule. Little here and a little there. Look at verse 12. Here's the true gospel. He who said to them, here is rest. In other words, just trust me. Give rest, that's faith, to the weary. The weary are those who have been working. So here's repose. Okay. But they would not listen. Now look at verse 13. So the word of the Lord to them will become do and do, do and do. Now, up to this point, what have we pretty much stayed with here? That this book will become do and do, do and do. That if you read this book, you'll see do and do, rule and rule, rule and rule, little here, little there. Now, it's a question. In its final thing, John chapter 1, verse 1, who is the Word of God. Who is the Word of God? Huh? Who's the Word of God? Christ. Thank you. Jesus. Christ. Is the Word of God. Okay, what have we been dealing with? The Antichrist. The one who proclaims to be Christ. Let's see how this would read. Look at verse 12. Or verse 13. Or at the end of verse 12. But they would not listen. They would not listen to the truth. So, Jesus Christ will become to them, do and do, rule and rule, a little here and a little there. Do you see what's happening? Do you see what's happening with the coming of the false Christ? This is what the false Christ will say. You've got to do and do. And dear people, I'm here to help you see, if you don't see this now, when the false Christ does say these things, you'll buy right into it. If we walk in the Spirit and let the Spirit show us, no, the Word is rest and don't work. The Word is grace. The Word is love. The Word is faith. But if you lose that and you will not listen to that, then Jesus Christ, the false Christ, is going to sound like this. Do and do. Rule on rule. And it's going to sound so right. That's our man right there. He is saying what we think should be said. So Jesus Christ, now that's false Christ, the Antichrist, is saying that. And people are going to listen. Why would they do that? Look what he says. Let's just read this the way we're dealing with. And the Word of the Lord, that is the false Christ, the Antichrist, the one who sets him up as Christ, to them will be. Do and do, line on line, little in, little bit. Now, in the Thessalonian passage, what did we read? God will send a great delusion. That's what you're reading in verse 13. That's what it will become. Now, why did he send a great delusion in Thessalonians? So that they would what? Stumble. Go into the whole deal. Look what he says here. That in order that they may go, that is, they who will not listen to the truth, but will follow the false, and stumble backward, be broken, snared, and taken captive. I don't want this to be you now with false teaching of Scripture, but I don't want it to be you either if the Antichrist comes this week, whenever he comes. And the only way we're going to be able to do this, me and you, the only way we're going to be able to do this, people, be able to stay clear in our thinking and let the Spirit guide us. Wait a minute. This is not what? This is not the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is not that this man is talking about suffering and judgment and persecution and all of this stuff. That's not it. And doing and obeying. That's not it. The Christ that I know took the law and fulfilled it. It's over. The law no longer has claim on anybody. The Christ that I know teaches rest. Faith. Grace. And rest. I just can't follow you. You're doing wonders? Boy, I want to be impressed by the wonders that you're doing. You have great power, and I want to be impressed by that. And you have all the appearances of righteousness, and boy, that's impressive, because I'm tired of unrighteousness. But you're not the truth. How can I not be the truth? How can I not be the truth? And your friends and other Christians are, how can he not be the truth? Look what he says. Look what he's doing. Yes, look what he's saying. Listen to what he's saying. it's not the truth of the gospel. It's not the truth. So when the false Christ does come, dear people, Christians are going to run to him because he is going to be the man of law, therefore lawless. Don't even get into any kind of, oh, well, it's going to be someone like Clinton that the world's going to love because, and he's, you know, I hate to say the way these things because I don't want to judge anybody, but it's not going to be somebody who's immoral and trying to say immorality's all right. That's not, anybody's going to stand back and say, no, that's not the Christ. The Christ doesn't say immorality's right. So this isn't it. Then what it's going to be? What is it going to be? Just the opposite. Someone that is just going to sound so good. And when we get into various passages, I really challenge you ladies, because he is going to deceive the ladies above all. They're going to want that message of purity and truth and loyalty and not sin and all of that. And let's get these people, let's get these men, let's get these husbands, let's get all of this. And I'll show you, all these things we're covering, we're going to go through as we go through John. And we're going to be deceived because, yeah, that's what I want to hear. But is it what you want to hear if you're in truth? What is the truth of the gospel? Is the truth of the gospel judgment and condemnation when it's deserved? Or is the truth of the gospel, I have taken it upon myself. I have forgiven. I have paved the way for reconciliation, grace, and love through faith. You've got to stand back. What is the truth? What message do I want to hear that is the message of truth from one who says, I am the Christ? What's the message we want to hear? What message will we hear? There's even more involved than just the message. There's the whole flow of the history. So, and going back to John chapter 14 in our study. People, it is not easy. Let me just give you a principle. It is not easy to live your life by faith. It's easy to live your life by law, but it is not easy to live your life by faith. It is not easy to live your life in the dimension of the spiritual, in the dimension of the eternal, to have your relationship with husband and wife, to have your relationship with friends, have your relationship at work, and by all means, your relationship in the assembly, to be a relationship that is spiritual and defies all the things that come from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's not easy. And it's not going to be easy to discern the Antichrist. In fact, it'll be impossible outside of the Holy Spirit. Impossible. Don't even think that, okay, now I know what to listen for, and whether I'm in the flesh or in the spirit, I won't be deceived because I know what to listen for. You're setting yourself up. I'm telling you. You will be deceived. Only the Holy Spirit's going to give you the wisdom and the power not to be deceived by the lawless one. Not to be deceived by the law, by suffering and judgment and doom. And if you're not listening, you're going to be deceived. You're not walking in the Spirit. It is so difficult to do this. And this is why, dear people, this is why instead of judging one another and instead of putting down one another and separating one another and casting one another into scrap yards and in all of these things that we're to do, living as we were, as Paul beckons us to do right in the very first century, as though we are that generation, is to encourage one another, love one another, restore one another, do everything that we possibly can in regard to one another, to stay in the power of the Spirit, to stay where we ought to be in our relationship with Christ. And that only in the person of the Spirit. Look with me for a moment at Acts chapter 11, as we move into the beginning of the church. The book of Acts is a book of the... there's so much going on in my soul, and things that I'm working on, and when I say working on, just opening scripture and looking at, and I hate the word study now, but studying and going through. We might have another class, even if only two or three of you can come. There's just some things I've got, I'm just compelled to want to cover and go over with you. But look at one of those is just to flow through the book of Acts, which will help us so much. But look at Acts chapter 11 and verse 23. Acts 11 verse 23. Then, when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with a resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. How do we remain true to the Lord? We walk by faith in the Spirit. The Lord is gone. Jesus Christ is gone. Be true now to the Lord that has been sent to us, because the Holy Spirit is called the Lord. Jesus Christ is our Lord, but right now the Holy Spirit is our Lord. The Holy Spirit is our Lord now that we are in Christ and Christ is gone. It doesn't mean that he ceases to be Lord. I'm just saying to you that your immediate Lord now is the Holy Spirit. This is the one you and I walk with and trust to lead us into truth, to stop us from being deceived by sin or by law, both the same really. You go at it different ways. The person who goes at it with sin ends up in law, and the person who goes at it in law ends up in what we traditionally think of as sin. They're in the same place. It's got it in different ways. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is very clear. There's the lifting of the veil, and you see Jesus Christ departs. Now the Spirit is the Lord. Now that we are in Christ and living here, and the Lord's gone, Jesus Christ is gone, the Lord is the Spirit now. A lot of people in this Lordship salvation, Christians, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, they're never going to see the truth because they never walk in the Spirit. Just like the Jews when they said, we don't need Jesus, we got God the Father. God is our Father. The Father of Abraham is our Father. What are you? Who are you? We reject you. They didn't need Jesus Christ because they had God the Father. And many are not going to need the Holy Spirit because they claim they have Jesus, and they don't. The only way you and I are going to have Jesus Christ is by the Holy Spirit glorifying him in us. He's got to do it, not me. And not himself. This is why I'm trying to show you the two standings of God is so important. Who is going to glorify Jesus Christ in me? Is it going to be me? No. Is it going to be Jesus Christ? No. It's going to be the one that God sent for that purpose, the Holy Spirit. And then other large group of people today have zeroed in on the right person, but totally the wrong way. The emotional, charismatic stuff. They don't have it either. The same thing we have with Jesus Christ. Just trust him. That's what we're to do. Look at chapter 14 of Acts. Acts chapter 14, look at verse 22. Just a couple. I'm not going to go belabor you with a whole lot of verses, but there's some that we should be aware of. All right, look at verse 22. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, believers, encouraging them to continue in the faith. Continue by walking in faith. Encouraging them, saying, in the many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. It's going to be tough to walk by faith. And why do you want to persecute and judge and crucify, as it were, believers who are struggling as they walk in faith? Well, they're in sin and they deserve it. Is that the gospel? Is that the truth that you hear in Scripture? And people, this is important that you start understanding what you're listening to. If you start, really, what am I hearing? What is the gospel? Because if you have the wrong message, and then the Antichrist gives the message you have, you're going to follow him. If I believe that the message is, boy, you do something wrong, God gets you, and we got to walk the straight and narrow, and da-da-da-da, and there's got to be justice, and there's got to be all of this stuff, and you just said grace and faith, so God, maybe for the unbeliever, but boy, for the believer, and all this stuff. And then the Antichrist comes and says the same thing. You go, that's it. See, here's my message. There's his message. They're together. But your message is grace through love and faith. And he's saying something else. You go, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Spirit's revealing this. You're saying that. Mm-mm. And what can you say? You're saying no. I'm going to put this in quotes. Those of you on tape. You're saying no to Jesus. How dare you? Where do you get off saying no to Jesus? This is Jesus in Jerusalem. Boy, you are wrong. I dare you. And you've got to be able to stand up. The power of the Spirit. It's the only way you and I can do it. And say, no, that isn't. He's not here. He is not here on earth. This is not the way he's going to return. The way he's going to return is to call the church up first. He does not put one foot on this earth during the church. And that one has put his foot on earth during the church. Something's wrong. But even knowing that truth, you can sit there and say, that's it. What? That, man, that's it. Clear cut. If the church hasn't gone up and he's coming to be Christ down here, people, you can know that kind of doctrine, in quotes, and be deceived right out of truth. Please understand that. Please understand that we're to walk with the Lordship of the Holy Spirit, trusting Him. Because if you don't, you will be deceived. Because the deception is powerful. You are, many of you here, and I've seen many people deceived by the speakers of law. Just imagine what it will be like if it's one in Jerusalem claiming to be the Christ and accepted by multitude. How that's going to be. You have a small example of how this is going to work. A very powerful thing, and this is why that same book where all of that was written about in 2 Thessalonians, let's go to Thessalonians. Look at 1 Thessalonians with me. Look at 1 Thessalonians. A day like this and everything, I'd love to talk about three or four. Don't get nervous. We're not going to. But I'd love just to keep you on this track for a while. Because I'm just so, wherever the Spirit's taking me right now, the idea of it is deception, and the walking in the Spirit is becoming so adamant in so many places in Scripture for us. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, this is the same group that he gives this warning to that we read in about the deception. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2, and we sent Timothy, our beloved and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. Look at verse 7, same chapter. Verse 7. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. And how do we stand firm in the Lord? Keep walking in faith. Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 11 of 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another, build up one another, just as you are also doing. This doesn't mean just when they're doing it right. This means when they fail and when they sin. That's the message you want to hear. Someone gives the message, crucify them, strap them, all of this. Is that the message of the truth of the gospel? You've got to have the Holy Spirit start opening your ears now. Because if your ears are, if someone does something really wrong, they need to be strapped and they need to be dealt with and all of this, that's what the false Christ is going to say. And you're going to say, amen. And you'll walk away. Follow me. You will leave for a different gospel than the gospel by which you were saved. Verse 11, therefore encourage one another. And build up one another just as you are doing. Verse 12, but we request of you, brethren, these are believers, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction and that ye esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Now, why did I read that? Because I want you to respect the pastor who I am? No. Because what I want you to do, people, is this. Those who do teach you, whether it's here or wherever you go, listen to what they're teaching. And love that. And respect and support them in that. But don't worship them. Don't put them in a place they do not belong. And the reason I encourage you to that is this. Because those people who follow a person are suckers for the great deception. Ah, this is the kind of man. Has nothing to do with the leading of the Spirit. It's just, this is a, boy, we just want to follow this. This is, he's moral, he's right, he's all of this stuff. On this external facade. Don't do that with any man. Don't do that. In your mortal body, never do it. When you are in a resurrected body, you then will follow the person of Jesus. It's through Christ. But I promise you, you will never follow. Amen. As long as you are in this mortal body, and so he is something really special, the Christ, an angel, in his name. God has set men up to be teachers. All you want to listen to is he's teaching me the truth of the gospel. Is he arming me to walk in the Spirit? Is he preparing me not to be deceived? If he is, love him. But don't worship. We live in a time when people want to follow this man. And you know what I'm talking about, and even in our country, America, with their swaggers and things that happen to people, and then they fall and this great empire crumbles. Why? Because they were wrong in following that way. Don't do that. Just listen. Allow the Spirit to help you listen. Is this truth? Is this the truth of the gospel that I'm being presented here? Or is this the works of man? Don't put blinders on so that you're not deceived by these external things about this person. And you won't follow the Antichrist. It's going to be a powerful time in history. And Paul encouraged on it, and I really haven't done that much. But right now, the Spirit's taking me through this journey now. And that's fine. It's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of problematic passages. But we'll work our way through. But I'm just telling you right now, warning you, you don't want to be deceived. Just start off right now. Don't be deceived by a false message. Don't be deceived by a false... Don't follow people. Hey, you're in your mortal body just like I am. You claim to be Christ, but you're just in a mortal body, because I'm in a mortal body. And I happen to know that before I see the real Christ, I will be taken off this earth, and I'm still on this earth, and I'm still in this mortal body, and I can still sin, so I know. When I'm in a resurrected body and I can't sin, then I might consider you might be the Christ. But as long as I know I can sin, you're not the Christ. I walk in the Spirit. Thank you. But be ready for persecution. If you're going to do that. Let's continue reading this one. I just want to stop and make note of why we're doing it this way. Verse 14. And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly. Don't kick them out. Don't trash them. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with all of them. No matter who they are, what their status is, be patient. Long-suffering. See that no one repays another with evil for evil. Oh, they've done me wrong, I do them wrong. But wrong may be law, and I'm not doing them wrong. It's evil. Why? Because the law's done away with. Do you see what I just said? They do you evil, so you give that to them law, and you say, I'm not doing evil to them. This is law. Yes, it is evil, because the law's done away with. So you're returning evil for evil. Evil for evil doesn't mean they slap you, you go slap them. Evil for evil means they slap you, so you get to take them to law. No, that's determining evil for evil. The law is done away with. Verse 15, see that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men. People, allow the Spirit to take this truth into you, and when somebody's standing up saying, let's repay these people what they deserve, stand back and say, that's not the message of the cross. That's not the message of the truth of the gospel. Wait a minute. It sounds good, and I know you've got a lot of passages to back that up, but it's not the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is salvation, reconciliation, Christ bore the judgment, Christ bore the suffering. I'm not going to get involved with persecuting other Christians. That's not the gospel. And you want me to persecute other Christians, and you're having Christians persecute one another for the name of good. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying that. You're not the true Christ. But again, in closing, if to you the truth of the gospel is that, do you see how you're going to go that way then? If your ideal is evil for evil, in other words, they do evil, you do law, and that is the truth, and someone comes and gives that message, you'll follow that because you've already accepted that as truth. And what I want to say is to you, please understand what the truth of the gospel is in this scripture so that you'll be able to stand back and forget who's talking, listen to what's being taught, being said, and then in the power of the Spirit discern it, and in the power of the Spirit walk. And if you're in the power of the Spirit, dear people, you will not be deceived by the false Christ. That's all that that's what's going on right now in my office. I don't want you deceived now by false teaching, nor then if the false Christ comes, to be deceived by him. And the way we're going to do this is to, first of all, say, I can be deceived. I have tons of doctrine in my soul. I've got tons of notebooks to prove it. But I can be deceived. Therefore, I will trust the Spirit to open my eyes, to give me the truth. Praise the Lord for us. We didn't get very far. I've got a lot of places I want to go with you this morning, but we'll pick it up and just go through this and build on it. And in our study of John and in other places in Revelation, Matthew, Mark, a lot of the journeys to take. Father, we pray that your Spirit will guide us on the journey that we go into in Scripture, that your Spirit will open our eyes that we might see, that we might begin to see that those things that are related right around us so often have nothing to do with the eternal, and that we will be encouraged by one another and encouraged by your Spirit to walk in the eternal, those things that are eternal, those things that are spiritual. The adversary is just going to set up so many circumstances to depart from the truth of the gospel, cause our flesh to want to go over to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We pray, Father, that the Spirit will just continue to keep us in the Spirit of the tree of life, that we might see. We have such a short time on earth. It seems like a long time, but it's really rather brief. And during this journey, that the Spirit will just transform us into the image of Christ. We won't need to follow a false Christ, for the true Christ will live in us by the presence of your Spirit. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.